Log Talk Radio.
Praise the Lord, everybody. I want to welcome you to another edition of the Miracle Man Show here on Tuesday, July the 25th of... January 25th of 2022. I don't know what happened there. Why did I say July? I don't know. Because outside it feels like anything but. I don't know where that came from, but I sure didn't mean it. Because actually, we'll try this again, going to the show on January 25th, 2022, which is what it actually is. And this marks 4.5 years that we've been here. 4.5 years. And I have enjoyed all of the 4.5 years that we have been together, all the laughs, all the different discussions we've had, all the different things we've taught. It truly has been a good ride, an incredible ride at that. And it's been a nice ride. And I would honestly be all I can say about it. I enjoyed the ride. And hope to keep on keeping up. And so how I got my start in this, how this show came to fruition, is I wanted to be a sportscaster. I had first thought about it back when I was in high school, like a junior, and I was hearing these different I'd given it little bitty pieces of thought prior, like when I was in eighth grade at middle school, and like when I had went to a Pistons game back in the 2004, before that national championship game, which was my first Pistons game, by the way. But and I've been to that game and heard Mason making the calls, and I thought that'd be pretty cool. But at the time, I was like, I don't know. I'll still give it thought later on. And then a few years later, I was listening to, over the years, listening to different, stadium announcers. And then in 08 is when ESPN 100.9 launched here in this local market. And then I would say the stadium announcer that made me think of it when that I wanted to be a broadcaster, either a talk show host or a stadium announcer, was actually the stadium announcer I forget his first name, but it's the stadium announcer for the Houston Texas, for the Houston Texans of the NFL. He has been there for many years, and I love the way he says touchdown comics and touchdown Texans, and I just always thought he was a cool guy. Keep in mind that I don't know why it was the guy from Houston. I don't know why. And to be honest with you, it was at a Lions-Texans game in Houston in which the Lions had been down 21-0. They would rip and tear at that deficit and end up, but they would still lose 28-21. But I thought that it was real cool. And throughout the rest of the year, I was listening to the Lions game to see if I could hear the stadium announcers, like the guy who's talking to the crowd and that. And I couldn't hear any others that were quite like Houston's. Other stadium announcers have tried to copy him since then, but I think whoever he is, Mark something something, I would love that guy. I would love to meet that guy. And this is Houston has for years been one of my favorite cities in America. I only went there once, but I was only there for less than 24 hours, but for some reason, to me, I always thought of it as like a city of imagination and wonder. There's different things about it. And I like to go on these certain sites, like Around Me is an app I have on my phone, and sometimes Yelp too. I like to put in different addresses in cities and see like what restaurants and what have you are nearby there. And I found that even if I don't know where the streets are exactly, but I can kind of guess what region they are based on like the freeways that are nearby and stuff. And that city is, it's over 40 miles from one extreme part of the city to the other extreme part of the city. And there's something about that in particular to me that has made that city so interesting. And then when did I first think of it as an interesting city? You're going to think this is weird, but this is me. I first thought of Houston as an interesting place back in 2005. When I had heard that Houston had been considered the fattest city in America, men's health and what have you, the year before Detroit had been. But when I found out Houston had been, for whatever reason, I had thought Texas was cool for a few years prior to that, but something about it really made me think that, you know, Texas is a cool place. Houston's a cool place. And that's why I had told you guys before. Not exactly. No, not the food necessarily. But besides that, Texas is one of the biggest football states in America. And I have now been in the biggest overall football stadium in America, which is University of Michigan. I have not yet been by the biggest NFL stadium in America, which is actually AT&T Field in Arlington, Texas, in between Dallas and Fort Worth, like right there in the middle of DFW. Okay. When I've been looking at that, I honestly think that Arlington is actually closer to Fort Worth than to Dallas. I think it's closer to East Fort Worth than what it is to West Dallas. And I separate it like that because these cities in Texas are so spread out. And I've always thought it was interesting when you have these certain cities that are super spread out like that. Why? I don't know. But I do. And as a bonus, it's in one of the free states where you don't have the crazy tax mandates and what have you. It's not in New York. It's not in California. It's not in, you know, certain places like that. But now that I think about it, that guy from Houston, that stadium announcer is Mark something. Another stadium announcer who had piqued my interest at first, the first time, where I just said I might give it a thought back in middle school when I wasn't at all for sure yet. No, just thinking. That was actually Mason from the Pistons. I've never got to meet him. I never once got to meet Mason from the Pistons. Never once. But I've always thought it would be cool. I also wish the Pistons would get better at basketball. Am I mad that they're not better? No. It's what I'm calling my Detroit wish list for the teams to get better so they can make the playoffs. I don't know what has gotten into the ownerships of these sports teams in the Detroit area. April, do you know why our Detroit teams have been so bad for the last 10 years?
No, it's not, though.
Why have they been so bad for the last 10 years? Not one Detroit team since 2013 has won a playoff game. Not one of the four. Isn't that crazy? Yeah. Not one of them. And I wonder why that is. But it's been forever. I don't remember it being like this before. I'm sure it wasn't like this in the 80s because in the 80s the Tigers won World Series. It maybe in the 70s, I don't know, but I doubt it. What about the 60s? Oh, 68 Tigers World Series. Well, and the last team from Detroit to win a championship at either of the four? Red Wings. Oh, wait. Going to be 15 years next year. In the previous 5-6 years prior to that, you had two. The Pistons of 04 and then the Red Wings of 02. And if you go back, you want to go back to the mid-90s, you would have had four because you would have had the Red Wings of 97 and 98, too. But it's been a long time. to be honest with you. A very long. And, but nonetheless, I was talking about how and so I've been wanting to do sports for ever since like 2008. Had given it a thought, a tiny thought in 04, but then at that time I was like, well, who knows? I kind of shrugged it off and was like, I have a hard time saying that Mason was the pioneer in my mind. That made me want to do it because I shrugged it off and was like, maybe someday that might be cool. But then in 08, after hearing the Houston guy in the background, I was like, this is pretty cool. So, fast forward. 2017 and future man Sam Cottle, you know, came and talked to me and he was like, hey, you interested in this? And I'm like, you know, we saw him. But so then we launched the Preacher Man and the Miracle Man in 2017. July 25th, 2017. We just launched it, and because I talk sports on here at times, and then also I bring you the word, and we have worship and all that we do here on this broadcast, these broadcasts, and we come to you every Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday night between 6:30 and 8 o'clock. And, you know, we focus on God, but we also do talk sports. And what's going on? And at least there's been some good things going on as of late in the world of the major college sports here in the state of Michigan. Michigan and Michigan State, both at football and basketball in the last 10 plus years. Even though since 2012 when the Tigers made the World Series in Detroit, and then 2013 with the Tigers almost making the World Series, but 2014 and after, it hasn't been so great. But for college teams, it's still been good here. Hopefully, these pro owners who are owning these teams can do whatever they have to do, spend some money, because as long as these team owners, They have to find a way to sign great players who want to play, who want to be good. And then they can raise, you know, and they can start winning, then they can start filling the seats. And then we can be a sports mecca. Like what we had always been. And not the laughing stock when you have all four of your teams not doing so well. But, so in the last 4.5 years, Keith's done a bunch of different things on this program. And I've done the sports picks. We've had Christmas together the last 5 Christmases, and I really enjoyed that. And some things over the last 5 years, when it came to, like at Christmas, we kept the same. Other things, you know, over the years, we kind of change things. And that's been one of my yearly favorite highlights, like what I've been doing every year. I would say football and Christmas are two of my favorites, because doing Christmas with you guys has just been a great thing. And but then, so also this is called the Miracle Man because I believe in the God of miracles. I hope you believe in the God of miracles. Jesus is a miracle worker. I believe that Jesus does miracles. I truly believe that he does miracles. And you don't have to ask me necessarily. I'll gladly talk to you about it. I will. But Jesus does miracles. Amen. Serve a great God. I serve a great God. And we serve a great God. And I'm glad to know him as the King. All right. Moving along to back on the schedule. I don't really have a sports update for later. I just don't have one tonight. We didn't really have any football games or anything big like that last night, since last night. And also, I had discussed what I would have discussed had I waited until later to do it, when I was kind of talking about how I got my start, what made me want to get into broadcasting in the first place. And I feel like God has used, given me this opportunity, and I've been enjoying it. And so, it's been a good ride. So the plan for the rest of the night is that make our two normal announcements, and then after that we'll get into some music, and then we'll continue on in our series on the Book of Acts, and we'll also be discussing what we were reading. And we left off at Paul and Silas. And in chapter 16 tonight, we'll be looking at that. And I've been enjoying the series. I really have. And so we'll just, but our very quick announcements. First of all, number one, I quickly want to remind you about our book, Rivers of Miracles. You can go online to the website, riversofmiracles.com, to find out information about the book, which is the story of my life and how gracious God has been. It talks about all the different things that, you know, I've had over 40 surgeries. God's been faithful. And then it even talks about the story of my mom. And my mom even talked about that a bit on Sunday, like to life. That's in there too. It's a great story. I highly recommend you read the book. It's called Rivers of Miracles. Find out information about how you can get your hand on that book. You can go online to riversofmiracles.com. Again, that website is R-I-V-E-R-S of Miracles, M-I-R-A-C-L-E-S.com. And you can get on there and find out how that book can be a blessing to you and how you can be a blessing to someone else by giving, by letting them read the book after you've finished it. The other thing I quickly want to remind you of, TikTok, TikTok. No, not TikTok. I was teasing about the time thing. I don't have a TikTok. But nonetheless, if you're over 70, don't worry about what TikTok is. That was a place to laugh. If you're over 70, don't worry about TikTok. But yeah, I'm kind of kidding, more or less. I'm sure there's some grandmas that do TikTok. But all kidding aside, you can go on. I want to encourage you to please sow a seed into the Miracle Man program. To sow a seed into the Miracle Man program, you can go online to paypal.com. In the search bar, type in Rivers Shukla. This Rivers is spelled different than the original Rivers. This Rivers is actually my name for what you type in. So you get on there, in that search bar, you type in Rivers, R-Y, as in yo-yo, R-Y-V-E-R-S. And then the last name is Shukla, S-H-U-K-L-A. So Rivers, R-Y-V-E-R-S, last name Shukla, S-H-U-K-L-A. I want you to keep in mind, please, the two quick things about that. Number one, just keep in mind that there is a space between Rivers and Shukla. The other thing I want you to keep in mind is that the first R in Rivers and then the S in Shukla are both capitalized. So just make a very quick note of that. And as you sow a seed into the program, I always pray over the seed. I always do. So just keep that in mind. The other thing that I would like to also, I want to sow a verse unto you as it relates to sowing. Actually, not necessarily yet, this time maybe, but a principle. But it's also a verse too. And that is that God looks at the heart. And when you give, God doesn't look necessarily at how many dollars you get. I think of the story of that woman in Luke, that widow. All these people were bringing huge offerings to the treasury. I mean, I wouldn't say everyone was giving huge ones. Some were giving larger ones than others. Others were giving more, you know. Some of them were giving lots and lots and lots of money. But then this lady put in everything she had to live on. Now she didn't give hardly nothing, but it was what she had to live on. She gave it. And Jesus loved her. And he was amazed that she, that lady, out of her poverty, put in all that she had to live on. So what you see is God looks at the heart, which is based on the percentage. It's not how many dollars. It's about percentage. And does, and is God your first love? That's one of the things you have to ask yourself. If he's not your first love, he needs to be your first love. All right. Enough of me gabbing for right now. We're going to sing a couple songs, and then we'll get into the word of the Lord. So, let's see. We'll sing a couple songs, and then we'll get into the word of the Lord. If faith could move the mountains, let the mountains move. We come with expectation, waiting here for you. You're the Lord of all creation, still you know my heart. Become the author of salvation. You love me from the start. Waiting here for you with our hands lifted high in praise. And it's you we adore, singing hallelujah. You're the remnant. Your faithfulness is true. We are desperate for your presence. All we need is you. We're waiting here for you with our hands lifted high in praise. And it's you we adore, singing alleluia. Hallelujah. We're waiting here for you. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Strip everything away till all I have is you. Take everything away till all I see is you. Strip everything away till all I feel is you. Strip everything away till all I see is you. Yeah. I will pursue you. I will pursue your presence. I will pursue you. I will pursue your presence. Pressing into you. So do not pass me by, breaking through the boundaries. I will not be denied, pressing into you. So do not pass me by, breaking through the boundaries. I will not be denied. I will pursue you. I will pursue your presence. I will pursue you. I will pursue your presence. Yeah. I will pursue you. I will pursue your presence. I will pursue you. I will pursue your presence and open my eyes. Search me inside. I can live without your presence. I can't live without your presence. Open my eyes. Search me inside. I can't live without your presence. I can't live without your presence. I will pursue you. I will pursue your present. I will pursue you. I will pursue your presence. I will pursue you. I will pursue your presence. I will pursue you. I will pursue your presence. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord God, for that you are with us tonight. It's great to serve you. It's great to know that you are here with us in our midst, that you are here with us, helping us. Thank you, Lord God, that you enable us, show us what it is that you want us to be, that you help us to be what you want us to be. Thank you, Lord God, that your hand is on us. Your hand is on us. You are what we seek. Thank you, Master, that you are just making a way for us when it seems that there is no way, but you make a way. And I thank you, Master, for that, that you are just moving in our midst, moving on our behalf. And you, Lord God, I am God that we serve. Thank you, Master, for this time in the Word tonight, that these listeners will receive everything that they're believing for from you. I don't know what they're believing for from you, but I know that you do. And I thank you that you meet all of their needs. Because even though I don't know what they need, you do. And now I make my confession over this program tonight. Say that sponsors and partners come into this program, that increases in listenership come into this program, that finances come into this program. Most importantly of all, I thank you for the huge amount of souls into this program, into your kingdom, because of this miracle, of this great radio program. In Jesus' matchless name. Amen and amen and amen. Let's make our confession. This is my Bible. I am what it says I am. I have what it says I have. I can do what it says I can do. Tonight, I am a believer. Therefore, I'm a receiver, and I do believe that I will receive absolutely everything that God has for me tonight. In Jesus' name. Go with me, please, to Acts 16. Thank you, Jesus. Acts 16. And we're just going to keep on keeping on. I want to encourage you. Be a part. Don't just sit there and watch. Amen. Acts 16, verse 1. And he came to Derbe and then to Lystra, where a disciple named Timothy lived, whose mother was a Jewish and a believer, but whose father was a Greek. The brothers at Lystra, Iconium, spoke well of him. Paul wanted to take him along on the journey. So he circumcised him because of the Jews who lived in that area. For they all knew that his father was a Greek. As they traveled from town to town, they delivered the decisions reached by the apostles and elders in Jerusalem for the people to obey. So the churches were strengthened in the faith, and they grew daily in numbers. Verse 6. Paul and his companions traveled throughout the region of Phrygia and Galatia, having been kept by the Holy Spirit from preaching the word. And having been kept by the Holy Spirit from preaching the word in the province of Asia. When they came to the border of Mysia, they tried to enter Bethania, but the Spirit of Jesus would not allow them to. So they passed by Mysia and went down to Troas. During the night, Paul had a vision of a man of Macedonia standing and begging him, "Come over to Macedonia and help us." After Paul had seen the vision, we got ready at once to leave for Macedonia, concluding that God had called us to preach the gospel to them. Verse 11. From Troas, we put out to sea and sailed straight for Macedonia, and the next day on to Naphalus. From there, we traveled to Philippi, a Roman colony and the leading city of that district of Macedonia. And we stayed there for several days. On the Sabbath, we went outside the city gate to the river, where we expected to find a place for prayer, a place of prayer. We sat down and we began to speak to the women who had gathered there. One of those listening was a woman named Lydia, a dealer in purple cloth from the city of Thyatira, who was a worshiper of God. But the Lord opened her heart to respond to Paul's message. And the numbers of her household were baptized. She invited us to her home. "If you consider me a believer in the Lord," she said, "come and stay at my house." And she persuaded us. Verse 16. Once, when we were going to the place of prayer, we were met by a slave girl who had a spirit by which she predicted the future. She earned a great deal of money for her owners by fortune telling. This girl followed Paul and the rest of us, shouting, "These men are servants of the Most High God who are telling you the way to be saved." She kept this up for many days. Finally, Paul became so troubled that he turned around and said to the spirit, "In the name of Jesus Christ, I command you to come out of her." At that moment, the spirit left her. When the owners of the slave girl realized that their hope of making money was gone, they seized Paul and Silas and dragged them into the marketplace to face the authorities. They brought them before the magistrates and said, "These men are Jews and are throwing your city into an uproar by advocating customs unlawful for us Romans to accept or to practice." The crowd joined in the attack against Paul and Silas and the magistrates and ordered them to be stripped and beaten. After they had been severely flogged, they were thrown into prison. And the jailer was commanded to guard them carefully. Upon receiving such orders, he put them in the inner cells and fastened their feet in the stocks. About midnight, Paul and Silas were praying and were singing hymns to God, and the other prisoners were listening to them. Suddenly, there was such a violent earthquake that the foundations of the prison were shaken. At once, all of the prison doors flew open, and everybody's chains came loose. The jailer woke up. When he saw the prison doors open, he drew his sword and was about to kill himself because he thought the prisoners had escaped. But Paul shouted, "Don't harm yourself. We are all here." The jailer called for lights, rushed in, fell trembling before Paul and Silas. He then brought them out and asked, "Sirs, what must I do to be saved?" "Believe in the Lord Jesus, and you will be saved, you and your household." Then they spoke the word of the Lord to him and to all of the others in his house. At that hour of the night, the jailer took them and washed their wounds, and immediately he and all his family, the jailer brought them into his house and set a meal before them. He was filled with joy because he had come to believe in God, he and his whole family. When it was daylight, the magistrates sent their officers to the jailer with the order to release those men. The jailer told Paul, "The magistrates have ordered that you and Silas be released. Now you can leave. Go in peace." Paul said to the officers, "They beat us publicly without a trial, even though we are Roman citizens. You threw us into prison, and now do they want to get rid of us quietly? No, let them come themselves and escort us out." The officers reported this to the magistrates, and when they heard that Paul and Silas were Roman citizens, they were alarmed. They came to appease them and escorted them from the prison, requesting them to leave the city. After Paul and Silas came out of the prison, they went to Lydia's house, where they met with the brothers and encouraged them, and then they left. Okay, look at chapter 17. When they had passed through Phalius and Philania, they came to Thessalonica, where there was a Jewish synagogue. His custom was, Paul went into the synagogue, and on three Sabbath days, he reasoned with them from the scripture, explaining and proving that the Christ had to suffer and rise from the dead. Through Jesus, I am proclaiming to you, this Jesus I am proclaiming to you is the Christ, he said. Some of the Jews were persuaded and joined Paul and Silas. And did a large number of God-fearing Greeks and not a few prominent women. The Jews were jealous. So they rounded up some bad characters from the marketplace, formed a mob, and started a riot in the city. They rushed to Jason's house in search of Paul and Silas in order to bring them out to the crowd. But when they did not find them, they dragged Jason and some other brothers before the city officials. They were shouting, "These men who have caused trouble all over the world and now come here, and Jason has welcomed them into his house. They are all defying Caesar's decrees, saying that there is another king, one called Jesus." They heard this. The crowd and the city officials were thrown into turmoil. And then they came, Jason and others. They postponed and let them go. As soon as it was night, the brothers sent Paul and Silas away to Berea. On going there, they went to the Jewish synagogue. Now, the Bereans were of more noble character than the Thessalonians, for they received the message with great eagerness and examined the scripture every day to see if what Paul said was true. Many of the Jews believed, as did also a number of prominent Greek women and many Greek men. When the Jews in Thessalonica learned that Paul was preaching the word of God at Berea, there too, agitating the crowds and stirring them up, the brothers immediately sent Paul to the coast, but Silas, Timothy, stayed in Berea. The men who escorted Paul, brought him to Athens, and then left with instructions of Silas and Timothy to join him as soon as possible. While Paul was waiting for them in Athens, he was greatly distressed to see that the city was full of idols. So he reasoned in the synagogue with the Jews and the God-fearing Greeks, as well as in the marketplace day by day with those who happened to be there. A group of Epicurean and Platonistic philosophers began to dispute with them. Some of them asked, what is this babbler saying? I mean, what is he trying to say? Others remarked, he seems to be advocating foreign gods. They said this because Paul was preaching the good news about Jesus and the resurrection. Then they took him and brought him for meeting the Areopagus, where they said to him, may we know what this new teaching is that you are presenting. You are bringing some strange ideas to our ears, and we want to know what they mean. All the Athenians and the foreigners who lived there spent their time nothing but talking about and listening to the latest ideas. Paul then stood up in the meeting of the Areopagus and said, men of Athens, I see that in every way you are very religious. And as I walked around and looked carefully at your objects of worship, I even found an altar of this inscription. An unknown God. Now what you worship as something unknown, I am going to proclaim to you. The God who made the world and everything in it is the Lord of heaven and earth and does not live in temples built by hands. He is not served by human hands, as if he needed anything, because he himself gives all men life and everything else. From one man, he made every nation of men, that they should inhabit the whole earth, and he determined the times set for them and the exact spaces where they should live. God did this so that men would seek him and perhaps reach out for him and find him. Though he is not far from each one of us, for in him we live and move, we have our being. As some of your own poets, have said, we are Therefore, since we are God's offspring, we should not think that the divine being is like gold or silver or stone, an image made by man's design and skill. In the past, God overlooked such ignorance, but now he commands all people everywhere to repent, for he has sent a day when he will judge the world in justice and he has appointed. He has given proof of this to all men, rising him from the dead. When they heard about the resurrection of the dead, some of them sneered, but others said, "We want to hear you again on the subject." At that, Paul left the council. A few men became followers of Paul and believers. Among them was Dionysius, who is a member of the Areopagus. Also, a woman named Damaris, and a number of others. So, what you see here is Paul and Silas are going about preaching the word, and then this lady who was a fortune teller was basically telling people when they were going to hear what Paul and Silas had to say. They were basically saying, "Oh, they're trying to tell you this. They're trying to tell you that. Oh, that's not true. That's..." And then, but then Paul, who was so frustrated, was so troubled, and then ended up getting up and commanding that spirit that was in on that lady to leave her alone. So then that spirit leaves that lady, but then different family members who had seen that they would no longer be able to make the money from what she had been doing, they were so angry about it that they basically had Paul and Silas thrown in prison. Paul and Silas are then put in the prison, but while they're in there at midnight, they're like, "Oh, really? We're in prison." But they started to sing hymns. And all these other people who were in jail, they were in there for all kinds of different things, I'm sure. I don't know why all those different people were in there, but they had obviously done criminal things. But they were there. And then they were even put in the inner cell. But then at that same hour, there was an earthquake. The doors opened. Chains fell off of people. The jailer ends up, he calls for lights because he doesn't want people escaping. Then he gets Paul and Silas and ends up washing Paul and Silas's wounds, taking them to his house for the night. And then that jailer, that head of that jail, ends up getting saved. him and his household. Because that jailer was asking, you know, what do I need to do to get saved? What do I need to do to be saved? And then Paul and Silas told him. They told that jailer what he needed to do. He got saved. He gave his life to Jesus. And then what happened, you see, after that is the next one. The jailer even feeds them. And then at daybreak, the magistrate orders them to be released. And then they're like, let the Romans get us out. Because they find out that Paul and Silas are citizens of Rome. The Romans came. The Romans escorted them out of that jail. And what you see, but before any of this happened, they tried to go preach in a couple of certain places, but then the Holy Spirit wouldn't let them go there. The Holy Spirit wouldn't let them go to these places. Why? I don't know. But I do know that the Holy Spirit was guiding them. And they weren't just allowing themselves to be guiding by their own flesh or their own just certain desires of, I don't want to go preach here. I want to go preach there. You know, and they were led by God. They decided they wanted to be led by the Spirit of God. And so that was an awesome thing that they had chosen that they were going to do. And then later, Paul and Silas go to Athens in Greece. And he notices that there's lots and lots and lots of idols. And that those people there are very religious, is what he had noticed. And so he even mentions about it. And he's like, what's going on here? And there was even a big sign in front of a certain thing that said, unknown God. And it was like all underlined. Meaning like, but then he told those people, you know, it is through the Holy God. It is through the Lord that we live, move, and have a being. Not by this unknown God thing, but they don't know this, you know, this so-called unknown God, as they called it. So they claimed it was like this whole unknown God type thing. But then they ended up getting more people saved. And then they kept going and preaching. More people were getting saved. Timothy even joined Paul and Silas. So they later had a third guy. Not just the two guys, but it was Paul, Silas, Timothy. And mind you, Paul, this guy who is now like really helping out, and who is now a bold preacher, he had used to be a bold persecutor. But now, bold preacher. And people were even wondering, they keep asking him, have to ask him, you know, what do we need to do? What do we need to do? And he would tell them what they needed to do, and they would do it. So when people come to you and tell you, you know, I need help, what do I do? You know? One thing you can tell them is they can get saved. Because there's only one thing that we can take with us to heaven. People. People. You can only take people with you to heaven. You can't take your house to heaven with you. You can't take your cars with you to heaven. Hey, newsflash. Oh, I have a question. Can you take your donut machine with you to heaven?
No.
Oh! Rock. Really? You can't take your donut machine? That was kidding about that. I know you can't. That was a test. That's what I was saying. You know, you can't take both things to heaven with you. Even though I am for sure that there are donuts in heaven, I'm sure that there is actually a big, giant table filled with all kinds of sweets in heaven. Oh, not just a big table, a big, like, banquet table, but it's all filled with all kinds of sweets, all kinds of Cinnabons, donuts, you know, different size donuts, peanut butter donuts, different kinds of donuts, cookies, cupcakes. Oh, yeah, whatever your sweet tooth desires. You know something else? There's no cavities in heaven. There's no cavities, which means, of course, no fillings, which means sugar. And yes, I'll be at that table. I'll also be at the fry table, mind you, the salty snack table, because salt is good, and if salt loses its savor, how can it be made salty again? There'll be popcorn and all that kind of stuff, potato chips. The best fries ever. Fried chicken. All the oily, greasy, lovely, tasty stuff that I love. I mean, that so many people love. I'm sure that'll be. But you can't make it. You can't take it with you. The stuff from Earth. No, you can't take the stuff with you. But you can take people to heaven. Sorry about that little rabbit trail there, but I just had that funny thought there when I was teaching. So the question truly becomes, were there people that you were supposed to win for Jesus, that for whatever reason you haven't? You're supposed to win souls. I feel like everyone goes to heaven, is going to go to heaven, should at least win one soul for Jesus. At least. And about this whole soul winning thing. So Dr. Rodney Howard Brown is big on this, huge on this, as is Dr. Barclay and many others. But let me tell you this thing about Dr. Brown. Dr. Rodney Howard Brown, when his daughter was 18, on Christmas Day of 2002, his daughter died of a disease at the age of 18. Dr. Rodney Howard Brown proclaimed before the Lord right then that would cost the devil 100 million souls and $1 billion into world missions. Over the course of ever since then, when he's been keeping the running total, throughout everything he's done to reach people, everything in the streets of Tampa and other places through the TV preaching, through all these other means, through online, over 40 million souls. And that's just that have been reported. Nearly 40 million souls, and that's just that have been reported. And I'm sure there's been even more. But he said right there that it would cost the devil 100 million souls because 100 million people would get saved. And he's been big on this ever since, mobilizing people. He has a heart for people. And so Paul and Silas, same way people would ask, what must I do to be saved? Because they know that Paul and Silas would be saved and be like, what do I do? Paul and Silas, and then Peter and Philip, and the book of Acts said, repent. And repent just doesn't mean to say, I'm sorry, forgive me. Repent means, listeners, repent means turn away. U-turn. Going the wrong way on that road that you shouldn't be on. Turn the car around and go the other way. But nonetheless, he means repent. As in, don't keep doing what you've been doing that has caused you all this problem, all these problems. And so, Heavenly Father, thank you for this time tonight. Thank you for all these listeners that have tuned in. Thank you, Lord God, for this wonderful word tonight through your scripture. Thank you, Lord God, that you would help us to be doers of this word in our own lives and not be hearers only, where we hear the word but don't do what it says, don't put it into practice, don't apply it, that we would be doers of this word. And now, Lord God, I pray over our bodies right now, that you would take all sickness and disease away from us, whatever it is living in us, whatever it is in our respiratory system, whatever it is in our stomachs, and whatever. Thank you that you are the healer, and that you are the God who heals. And I thank you, Lord God, that pain would go, that sickness would go, that disease would go, and that you would heal us all in our bodies. And I thank you, Master, for that. In Jesus' matchless name. Amen. And until next time, God first, God always. So long, everybody.